We're discussing shared custody and the journey of co-parenting after a divorce. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Navigating a divorce is tough, and with kids involved, it means thinking about what's best for the entire family. The pandemic added all new challenges to the emotional and psychological stress. Are you a parent who shares custody of your child or children? What's it been like for your family in these times? What issues have you had to work through with your ex-spouse? Were you able to find common ground? 800-642-1234. Jan Blackstone is a retired child custody mediator for the Superior Court of California. She co-authored the recent book called Co-Parenting Through Separation and Divorce, Putting Your Children First. Jan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. So lay it out for us, if you will. What are some of the issues facing co-parents during these times in this pandemic?
You know, people ask me that all the time, like there's supposed to be some special issues. And the thing with the the pandemic that's really accentuated the need to co-parent is the fact that under crisis, parents have to get along well enough to problem solve for their children. And the pandemic just made that more obvious, more important, that parents have to have a plan in place to understand how they can problem solve so that their children, there's not added stress to their children's issues.
Sounds like the key piece of this is communication back and forth between the parents.
You know, that the people who want to get along do. People who don't want to get along don't. That's what I tell people. You look for a way to get along if you need to. And that's exactly what it is. Communication. You have to figure out how you can talk to somebody with respect, no matter what they've done, so that you can problem solve together.
Have custody agreements evolved at all since the pandemic started? You know, you're seeing, as you say, the same issues coming up, but what do custody agreements look like in these times?
They're the same. I mean, what you're doing is a custody agreement is you share your children. If parents are really working together, they have to ask themselves, is it in the best interest of my child to go back and forth at this point? Are there elderly parents, you know, like grandparents living with the parent who has shared custody? So will the child, you know, possibly infect, you know, the grandparent? Those types of things needed to be taken into consideration. But now that things are opening up and people are getting their vaccines and things are slowly getting back to normal, if you can at least talk to each other, then you can compromise.
You mentioned vaccines, and, you know, of course, children will eventually be able to get the COVID vaccine once it's made available. But what are you hearing as far as how parents are choosing to settle a debate about whether to put a mask on that child and when that mask goes on and whether they will vaccinate?
Well, those are two different considerations. Masking is a law. At this point in most states where you go out, now it depends on if the child is really small, then they don't have to. But that is a subject that they have to discuss. And if you're asking me, how do you solve that problem? You know, that's a difficult one because you can't stop somebody from doing something that's not against the law when the child is with them. Mm-hmm. You can't pick from afar. Now, in terms of vaccines, that's an issue that I've seen when I work for the court system, where sometimes people, and it doesn't have anything to do with the pandemic. You know, it's some people vaccinate, some people don't. And in that case, I've seen judges have to make the decision for the parents. What they ask them to do is bring in all the information that they have. So the judge can look at the information that the parent has, because they want to make sure that the parent is fully educated on their position. And then the judge will make the decision. And most of the time, I have to say, I've seen them pass the judgment that they will get vaccines.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jan Blackstone, who's a retired child custody mediator for the Superior Court of California. We're looking at the challenges of co-parenting and child custody, not just in the pandemic, but of course, all the time. You can join in with your questions, your insights. Are you a parent who shares custody of your child? What's it been like during the pandemic? Have certain issues come up? Where have you found common ground? 800-642-1234. Jan, you know, there's been this long stretch of virtual learning for many children, and considering there are still kids who maybe one or more days a week home learning virtually, how are divorced parents navigating these issues in the virtual space?
Well, I can only tell you that parents report to me that it's incredibly stressful, and it adds to the stresses of raising a child in a pandemic, because oftentimes parents allow the teacher to take care of all the education, and this back and forth between parents complicates homework and things like that, even when there isn't a pandemic. So now they're navigating, you have to stay in touch with the teachers far more, you have to communicate more, and all these things are the types of things that I'm explaining that, you know, this is why parents who are no longer together have to communicate with each other. If there's a trauma, if there's a crisis like this, you can't just let your child flounder.
How do you suggest negotiating issues in front of a child and not, you know, playing this tug of war, if you will, that the child has to negotiate? How do you communicate well in front of the child?
Well, you make sure that you are very aware that the child is listening, and everything you're saying, children are like sponges. Everything you're saying makes a difference. And you also, if the child, I would possibly say, you know, Jason's listening right now, and I want to make sure that we, you know, negotiate in good faith. So let's put this some other time. And I would then explain to the child, because you don't want to make sure, you want the child to see oftentimes that you can negotiate well. But I'm kind of digressing, but I wanted to say that I often counsel parents to negotiate in front of the child on purpose, have an agreement already in mind. Already, you know what, you understand what I'm saying? So that they can see a positive way to problem solve. But you can't just do that by the skin of your teeth, because if you're really angry, you don't want the children to watch you negotiate when you're really angry at each other. But there were times that my husband and I used to stage apologies, for example. Because we wanted the children to see how you apologize and how you accept an apology graciously. So we would stage it if we started to argue, you know, we'd go away. Because what kids see is they see the argument. They don't see the negotiation to end the argument, because the parent goes in the other room, or they go in the bathroom and they scream at each other and they come back out. So we would come back out and say, gee, honey, I'm really sorry that I said that in that way. I should have said this. And then he would say, well, thank you for saying that. I accept your apology. So, you know, that's what I would do, because if you're fighting in front of the children, you're teaching your children to fight with their spouse.
Well, it seems like, you know, you're putting successful problem solving skills on full display there for those young people. Yeah.
Exactly. But I also have some tips for parents who don't have to talk, who negotiate, you know, co-parenting, where the kids aren't around, and how to negotiate that. I always tell parents to come to the table with one problem and a solution for the problem, so that when you're negotiating with something, you have an idea of how to problem solve. Just don't lay it on the table and say, you always do this. Mm-hmm. You know? You have to have an idea of how you want to problem solve. And that gives the other parent a place to start the negotiation.
Yeah. So there's, you know, kind of finding those openings, but also coming to the table with ideas yourself on how to get to a resolution.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Couldn't said it better myself.
Jan Blackstone is with us, specializing in co-parenting, counseling, conflict resolution, child custody, divorce. Did you get a divorce amid the pandemic? Do you have children? What was the process like? Did you work through a mediator on shared custody? What issues are you working on now? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Jan Blackstone here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing co-parenting and shared custody situations in the pandemic. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Glad you could be here. Attorneys interviewed by the New York Times last month, they described a slowdown in divorce filings, that there was this peak in the early days of the pandemic, and in recent months, a slowdown. Have you gone through a separation or divorce recently? What proceedings could you initiate over Zoom? How are the kids doing? What agreements are you still trying to work out with your ex on co-parenting in the pandemic? Join in your question, your situation, 800-642-1234. We have child custody mediator Jan Blackstone, who stays with us for 10 more minutes. Jan, let's talk contracts, drawing up in writing what your expectations are. How important is it to draw up a contract, write it out, to clearly state those expectations between the parents?
Oh, really good question. And after the break, I was going to mention this. So great, good segue. I am the director of a nonprofit organization called Bonus Families, and bonusfamilies.com has a 300 articles on this subject. And one of the articles is a contract specifically to kind of help parents walk through the process and have an agreement on how to problem solve. And the reason I always say at the bottom of the contract to sign it is because you have proof that you both were there and negotiated this contract. And they're the kinds of things where, you have an idea, you agree that you'll go to a public place and negotiate, don't go to each other's homes, don't drink alcohol while you're doing it, or smoke something, because that alters your consciousness and you may be less likely to negotiate. These are all the types of things that you have to consider, and you make an agreement, you check off the boxes, and you sign the contract at the bottom.
And so, you know, this can be a laundry list, if you will, of items that are important to each spouse. There isn't
Absolutely.
A limit. Yeah.
No, it's your, see, the thing about co-parenting or parenting, but specifically co-parenting, is you can design the relationship that you want to have with your ex or your partner. I often don't use the word divorce, just to let you know, because the more people have children without marriage, outside of marriage, than they have being married now. And people are sticklers about words. So, and when I say divorce, most people will say, well, we were never married. But they still have the same custody issues. Custody and the divorce proceedings are two separate issues.
Yeah. You have said that you want parents to help parents to stay out of court on custody issues. What is that court experience like?
Well, you know, I help people stay out of court because they're afraid to go to court. But I mean, sometimes that's the only way to have a problem solved. Mediators and judges are there every day to help people. They don't want to see you in court either. They would like you to problem solve yourself, because the court system doesn't want to raise your children. But sometimes that's what has to be done, and the court system is there to help people.
So when you do go to court, what are some of the tips that you have for families, for parents who do end up in court? How should they approach it?
Well, document everything. So what your problem is, you know, and make sure before you go to court, make sure you've talked to your child's other parent about the problem. Oftentimes people just file because they're mad, and it's something that could have been discussed and solved very quickly. But if it's an ongoing issue, make sure you document things. That means when the child was with you, when the child was with the other parent, what was said, text messages, Facebook posts, anytime you vent and say something incorrect that you shouldn't be saying, that's still admissible in court. So, have those types of things. I've seen people bring in derogatory text messages, and the judges just completely come unglued, because that's incorrect way to negotiate. Mm. And it proves that person is not willing to negotiate. And if a judge has to make a decision where a child will go, they will make the decision in the favor of the parent who is most likely to foster the relationship with the other parent.
You know, you've been a mediator many years. Mm-hmm. When you sit down with a couple, with parents, how do you keep an open mind? How do you not take sides when you hear their stories?
I ask them to put a picture of their child in the middle of the table.
Huh.
They always have them on their phone.
Yeah.
And I put that in. I mean, sometimes you can't help it. I mean, if somebody is incorrect, I mean, is abusing a child in some way, and I'm not talking about sexual, sometimes their attitude is abusive or their words are abusive, then I come out and tell them, what do you think you're doing? You know, and explain to them what a child thinks when they say those things. But if for all intents and purposes, is if the parents are equal in their, for want of another word, rightness, then we just talk about it from the child's point of view.
And putting that child's picture in the center of the table, what does that do to the conversation, to the tone?
Oh, absolutely. When somebody starts really, arguing with the other parent, I pick up their phone and show them the picture. I said, this is why you're talking. This is the reason. And that changes the attitude because then they realize that it's all about the kid. It doesn't matter what happened. If they have shared custody, they have to figure it out. If there was a problem so bad that there wasn't shared custody, then they don't have to negotiate because the courts have already said one parent has all of the rights. But 9 times out of 10, and I'm just throwing out that number, but it's pretty close. I rarely do I see sole custody because the courts believe that a child deserves both parents. So the court, the law is putting the child in between these two parents, and it's up to the parents to be parents, and not babies.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with longtime child custody mediator Jan Blackstone as we discuss the challenges of co-parenting and what it means in the pandemic. Taking your questions, your situation, 800-642-1234. Jan, let's touch on child support. The Office of Child Support Enforcement announced last year that it's okay to modify but not waive specific timeframes for certain child support services. What should a parent do if they can no longer pay for child support?
Go back to court because with all of their documentation, call the court.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to call the court. They're not going to raise your child support. If anything, they'll work with you. I mean, look at how many people work with their employees or employers because of the pandemic. If you're not making any money, how are you going to be able to pay child support? The court system knows that. So they will do something. I mean, I don't know. I just always tell people that to go back to court and not be afraid, because if you don't have money, you don't have money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Child support is based on a computer program, based on what you make and your time allotment with the child and how much the other parent makes and their time allotment. And they put all this information in a computer and it spits out an amount. It's not arbitrary. Say, a lot of times people say, well, that, she hit me up for so much child support. Well, it's because you make a lot of money. So that's the reason. But if you no longer make money, then you need to go back to court and talk to the judge or the Department of Child Support Services.
How are child support money, how is this money used in the family? Can you tell us a little bit about where you see it going?
Well, I mean, child support is designed to be used for the child,
mm-hmm.
to ease their life and make their life much more comfortable. But oftentimes it seems to be fathers, but now, I mean, mothers oftentimes make more money than fathers. So they're paying child support, but most of the time it's fathers paying child support to mothers. And I often hear them get very upset because they think that the mother is, because they're so angry at them anyway, is using the money to go to Tahiti. I often say, and then she's got a new car. You don't know where she got the money for the new car. I had a client who had that happen, and it was a company car. She got a new job, so that's where, again, where communication is. He's angry that she's got using the money to buy a new car when it was a company car. She's using the money for rent, that type of thing. So don't go to assumptions. And when you are writing this child support check or transferring the money, think of the child. Picture the child in your head, not the ex, because you're giving them money for the child, and it will make things easier. You won't feel that animosity welling up in your chest when you're thinking about, giving this money for your child instead of the ex.
Jan, in our last moments together, how might the pandemic affect co-parenting in the future? Have we learned anything from this experience?
You know, I hope so. The pandemic has given me an opportunity to speak out and given parents an opportunity to see the importance of working together. It's really has been an opportunity to put your best foot forward. It's been terrible. I mean, especially for people who, you know, live alone. And I'm not just talking about, you know, in custody situations, but for seniors and things like that, where people live by themselves. This has been the mental health component to the pandemic. It's been awful. But it's also given us a way to work together and see the importance of working together.
Jan, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Jan Blackstone is a retired child custody mediator for the Superior Court of California. Ahead this hour, we discuss the next stage in the Twin Cities Milwaukee-Chicago Inner City Passenger Rail Project. News update is next on the Ideas Network.